Dr. J Interviews is a collection of candid conversations with good Black professional men regarding life and career choices. I'm your host, Dr. J McCarthy. Well, I'd like to welcome Scotty Scott to my show. How you doing today, brother?
Doing good, man. How about yourself?
Doing really good, man. I'm glad I got a chance to get a hold of you. You're a busy man, I see, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you reaching out, man. And I appreciate you following up because my schedule is normally packed and I'm terrible at scheduling things. So I appreciate you following up too, man.
Oh, I completely understand, brother. So I'm going to let the listeners know how I found you a little bit later on, but let's just kind of just dive right into it, man. Tell the listeners, what do you do for a living?
Well, my 9-to-5, I'm in oil and gas. I make sure the right people get paid the right amount of money. And after that, my side job, side hustle, passion is food and everything that involves that. So that includes food photography. I got a food blog. I do pop-ups around town or around the country or wherever somebody's willing to pay me, basically. And I do food videos on Instagram and YouTube and stuff like that. So,
sounds great, man. So he goes by the moniker Scotty Scott, but I'd be remiss not to call you Chef Scotty Scott. And we're going to dive into that. So I want to touch on the oil business real quick, and then we're gonna spend some time there. So what's like a typical day for you in that field?
I've got a law degree, and that's why I actually, a little backtracking. I was a sports agent for about 3 years prior to getting into oil and gas, and it was a lot of work, a lot less glamorous than it seems, and Jerry Maguire lost a bunch of money. And so at that time, oil and gas was booming. It was a big boom. This is 12, 13 years ago with fracking. And so they were hiring, anybody, pizza delivery people, strippers, anybody who could get on the payroll, they were hiring. You had a law degree. They really wanted you because they knew you could read. So during my 9-to-5, what I do is it's called curing title. So basically when you drill a well on that land, you've got several owners generally, just depending on how big the well is. And so you have to be able to confirm from when title began, which is basically when the state conveys it to a private individual up until present day. And so if there's any kind of gap in chain of title, then I have to make sure I get the correct documents to clear that up. What that means is that, let's say your grandfather owned some land and he passed and he didn't have a will. Well, now you own it, but there's no chain conveying it to you legally. So I had to go in and make sure that that's just one example, but make sure that all the title is clear in order to pay the people the right amount of money.
I got you. I have a couple of buddies that work in the oil field. That's a pretty lucrative field for a position like yours. What is like a ballpark, like an entry level and kind of like a range that someone could expect getting into that field?
It just depends on the experience level and what you're doing, whether you're in-house or contract or it probably starts about 50 for a contractor and they go up, for my particular position, probably about 200, 250. And then after that, you start getting into more managerial aspect of it. Same kind of work, but you just, supervising more people and overseeing more stuff.
Oh, gosh. And do you have to have a law degree for that?
You don't have to, not at all. As a matter of fact, they got degrees that specialize in that now, like petroleum management degrees and stuff like that, that people go to school to actually become land managers, as they're called.
How neat. What's your favorite part of that that you do all day?
It's pretty interesting. When I start, everything is online now. When I started out, I was living in Houston. And so what you had to do is, you had to research the land in the particular county where the well is being drilled. So, wells are normally drilled out in the middle of nowhere. So I'm out there in Pittsburgh, Oklahoma, or, some podunk town in Louisiana. And so, what you would do is you drive out to that county and you shack up in, a local hotel for the week. You go to the county courthouse and you read through all of the different documents and instruments to figure out where that land started when the government owned it to where it is in present day. And so you see it's history. It is history. I mean, I can remember when I was working in Louisiana, you would actually see slave names on the rolls that were being sold.
Wow.
In addition to the land, which was, you know, it was a weird experience because, you know, these people still live in that county. They still live in that town. And on the book in the courthouse is their ancestor being sold, you know.
Wow.
Amy, one mulattress, you know. Jack, one mulatto, being sold along with a mule or whatever else it was. So it was interesting in terms of its historical aspect to it. Mm-hmm. And in addition to it, you know, when you're driving around, you know, streets are pretty much, you know, set out perpendicular and vertical, and it's very clean, but that's not the way land is sold. I mean, it's jagged, you know, it's like a puzzle. And so when you look at that, you can actually see the way that the land is broken up between the people that own it and how it really, you know, passes on through, you know, generations or individuals or what have you, when it's not as cut and dry as it seems, you know, in your normal suburban, you know, setting, your suburban house or whatever you want to call it.
I got you. Some interesting stuff, man. Okay, so
it's pretty interesting, you know.
How did you get into that? What got you into the oil field?
Knew somebody, you know, which is typically the way, you know, like once again, if you get a degree in it, you know, and you go that route of interning and all that kind of stuff, you know, that you can do that. But a lot of times it's just who you know, you know, unfortunately. I mean, fortunately for me, but it's not a lot of people of color on my side. You know, you've got a lot of engineers of all different ethnicities. But once again, traditionally, what you would do is you go out, you've got to negotiate the oil and gas lease with the landowner. So you're going out into the sticks of wherever, knocking on somebody's door and sitting down with them and negotiating the oil and gas lease for their land. And so I don't know if that has something to do with it. It's also a very, you know, good old boys network, but you know, I go to my annual conference every year, and generally, I mean, there have been several years where I've been the only black person there out of a couple hundred, maybe a couple thousand people. You know, I think the last time it was four or five. But it's very good old boy network where you know, just kind of got to know somebody.
See, and that's why I like interviewing brothers like you, man, because we had a brief conversation before we started recording. There are so many different paths. You know, I grew up in the inner city in Midwest, and you know, you grow up, watch the Cosby Show, you're like, hey, you could be a lawyer, you could be a doctor. You knew engineers exist, but there were so many other career paths that we just didn't know, you know? So,
right.
It's a beautiful thing to see. And then another thing that I think is about your entrepreneur too. And I kind of tell the audience how I found you. I was, going to do this podcast, and I was thinking like, let me see if I can do, you know, I'm a foodie myself, you know, self-proclaimed, you know, I love eating, you can see. And I was telling my wife, I was like, I'm going to find a chef. I want to interview a chef and see if we can get a recipe for Thanksgiving or whatnot. And I was on Google and I ran across this article in Pop Sugar, and it was called 30 Black Chefs and Foodies That You Should Follow ASAP. So I'm going through them, and then yours stood out. They said, I'm quoting this, drool-worthy recipes. Right? And then I looked and I was like, hey, the brother's from Fort Worth, man. So I added him, you know, and then for a couple of weeks I was just going through, you probably start seeing a bunch of likes show up on your stuff. I'm just, oh, that looks good. To my wife, look at this, you know. So I reached out to you, and I'm thankful that you were able to carve some time out for us. So tell people a little about that, man.
So actually I started, you know, I grew up Detroit, Michigan. My mother was cook for the family. My father was always on the grill for the neighborhood. And I grew up around food and just loving to eat and cook. And so always cooking for friends and family, you know, I decided at one point to start a personal chef service. And this was about 13 years ago, maybe. And right after that, I got into oil and gas. That's when I started traveling all over the country. And I would be in a hotel room 4 to 5 days a week. So it just wasn't feasible. And so once my career kind of, you know, advanced a bit and I was able to have more of an office job, I decided to get back into cooking. And at that point, social media had really taken off like it hadn't initially. And so when I travel, I like to take pictures and stuff like that. I'm kind of a novice photographer as a hobby as well. And so Instagram kind of combined those two passions of mine. So it kind of drew me to it. So I decided I was not only to start cooking for people, but I also tried to get into the social media aspect of it and see what that was about. And it really kind of, I enjoyed it because it pushed my creativity. Before that, I had about 10 dishes I could roll out for parties or, any kind of event. But with social media, I mean, you've got to keep it going. You've got to keep pushing the envelope, at least in what I do and what I try to do. You've got to keep it fresh. Yeah. You can't just roll up the same stuff. Nobody's going to follow you. Nobody's going to like that. So I enjoyed it from that aspect in terms of just pushing my creativity level, making sure I kept stuff fresh. And also just, engaging with people and getting feedback because, I hesitate to call myself a chef because I'm not classically trained in any sense. I call myself a cook, I guess. I don't know what I call myself. But point being is that, I still got a 9-to-5. So I'm in there winging it, 90% of the time, And so, I can take a picture and it might look good, but I'll be honest with the people. I'm like, look, this looks amazing, but don't try it. It's terrible. I did this. What happened? And people would give me feedback. Hey, you did this wrong. Or you should do that. And it was pretty cool in that sense. I'm like, okay, this is like a community, that kind of helps you, grow and learn as you're going along,
Mm-hmm. Now, for our listeners here, he's being a little modest here, right? So I'm definitely going to post some pictures up and I'm going to put all his social media handles and stuff. But I want to read something here. So he's been featured in Fort Worth Weekly and 360 Magazine. This is a little blurb from the magazine. They said, this is a warning to avoid the Instagram page of cook, drink, eat if you're hungry. If you just ate, it will make you regret whatever you just put in your mouth. This is the beauty of Scotty Scott's social media presence. It's all about the food. With more than 21,000 followers, he must be doing something right. You don't get 21,000 followers, brother, for not doing the good thing and doing the daggone thing, brother, man. So.
I appreciate that. And, it's kind of, what do they say, seeing the sausage being made, it's a method to the madness,
Yeah.
Number one, you definitely have to have a quality product. And then aside from that, it's unless you're a celebrity, it's a job, it's work. You have to work to be able to get people. I mean, if you can go on Instagram right now and pull up something with somebody that's got, 500,000 followers and you've never heard of them in your life. And so why is that? Because, you just never come across them. So you've got to actively engage with people, reach out to people. You've got to work it to get it to a position where it becomes where, it kind of is a little bit self-fulfilling, but it's work in addition to all the behind the scenes stuff,
Yeah. You do some good stuff, brother. So the other day, prior to our interview, so I've talked on the show before. I like YouTube for learning. Some people just like it for entertainment, and I watch it on my TV a lot. So we went ahead and subscribed to your channel, and there was three things that stood out to me when I watched your channel. First thing was just the creativity, man. Like the creativity and the dishes you make. And I wrote some notes down. The fried spaghetti. Oh my gosh, the way that you put that together. And I don't want to spoil it for people because I want you guys to go watch this video. Fried spaghetti, the garlic herb, prime rib, all that catfish biscuit, man. I was talking about that this morning to my wife. I was like, man, that catfish biscuit looks so good, man. And it is. So that was the first thing. I love the creativity. The second thing that stood out to me was the music. I love how you infused hip hop. And we must be around the same age because we got similar tastes, man. I was telling my wife, I'm like, yeah, and I'm from the Midwest too. So, some of the music, I love the music. And then the third thing, I like the humor, man. I like people, I mean, they may go over their head, some of the stuff, the Isaiah Thomas punch, I was cracking up on that one.
Okay,
So I'm not a big Pistons fan, the Bad Boys, I appreciate talking about them now to my sons, like, oh, y'all know what fouls are, But I only like Dumars from that team. I can't stand nobody else. But I did like, what was the squad they had when they had Rip and Sheed Chauncey was my boy, man. So I love that squad, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Grant Hill, of course. So just assuming you're a Pistons fan if you're from Detroit.
Unfortunately, I'm everything Michigan fan, you know, Detroit fan. So, you know, we could follow a hard time with our sports teams. But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, we're from Ohio, so Michigan been getting that business, boy. They've been getting that work.
But anyway, that's a different story.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I appreciate the humor, man. I think I like that she put it lighthearted. And then I'm gonna tell you straight up, but when that human tornado came on, I fell out, man. Me and my homies, we snuck and got that on VHS, man.
Man,
when that house fell apart and he jumped off the side of that cliff, and I was like,
you I don't think I already did this, did you?
Yeah, you know. I was like, boy, if you don't know about Dolomite, boy, that was some air humor, man. But I did it.
That was me and my homeboy. We used to sneak 40s and watch it in the basement, you know, all of Black exploitation film. Used to watch.
Oh my gosh, man! No, that's some...
so I just man. You know, I try to be something different, something fresh. You know, it's a lot. It's a saturated market out there, and I know there's things you can just watch where it's a rote, you know, recipe. But you know, I'm trying to give you something. It's the entertainment as well. You know, I'm trying to bring my personality into it and make it where it's quick, it's fast. You know, anytime I'm cooking, either I've got something playing as far as in my house, or I got something in my head going as far as music is concerned. So I just always try to blend the two together as far as just humor. Making it quick, making it where you can keep paying attention to it, you know, with, you know, the words and the music and the action. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, still give you a recipe that you can, you know, try, you know.
Yeah, and it's so real, man. It's authentic, I guess the word I should use, man. It's like, he'll make a mistake, he'll put the words on the screen and stuff. And I like that. It makes it more intimate. And like I said, I'm real big on creativity. I love when people just, you know, like with spaghetti, and I can't even pronounce it. I'm not going to make a fool of myself. But you use like... Yeah, pepper cake. And then he put the squid ink on it, and I was like, I would try it, though. You know, it was weird, like, you know, it don't sound good, but I was like, man, it's just the way you put that together, that's pretty dope stuff. I was reading something else, too. It was, and I think we got a video for it, where they said you were asked to create this recipe using this, what's it called? Martin House Best Made Pickle Beer.
Oh, yeah, pickle beer here in Fort Worth, yeah.
And then you made, what did you make? Some beer battered fish and chips.
Yeah. I used the beer in the beer batter. Yeah.
That was such a good idea.
That turned out pretty cool. I was happy with that. Yeah.
Good stuff. So explain to us, what are these pop-ups? Now you had mentioned that you have pop-ups and you have different collabs with places like this Martin's place. Is that how does that work?
Well, so, you know, I don't have a brick and mortar restaurant. And so what it is, you know, a lot of, restaurants or establishments or whatever will bring me in, and you know, I'll sell tickets and try to partner with some kind of, you know, beverage, because, you know, Drank is my middle name, so some kind of, you know, liquor or beer company, and I'll have a menu out, and then you know, people come in and drink and eat and enjoy themselves, you know.
That's so dope.
I like it. You know, the thing is, I understand if you've got a restaurant. People come there many times for a particular thing. Like when I go to Chick-fil-A, I've already got my head, I'm getting this chicken sandwich. I don't want, you know what I'm saying, a salad. I don't want anything else. So you're kind of limited in terms of what you can do, because you'll lose customers. But with pop-up, I love it because you just can be as creative as you want. And I also try to, you know, create an environment, create an experience, because, you know, I'll be honest with you, there are a lot of restaurants that do very well on great experience and mediocre food. You know, they got a great patio and good drinks, mm-hmm. and the food is you know, but they're, you know, well known. I try to do both. I want it to be both a great experience, awesome food, and make it so that you want to come back to the next one, you know.
That's what's up, man. I was reading another one of those articles that you had said, and like I said, I'm from the Midwest too. And we first were scoping this place out. We, like you, planned on moving out in Dallas, like in the Plano area. It ended up being on the Fort Worth side. And you were saying in the article, same thing I tell my homies back home. You know, Fort Worth has a small town feel. But it's cool, though, man. Like, the vibe is so cool. Like, you have, I think in one of the videos you were talking about that Magnolia area. We hang out down there sometimes, you know, good food down that way. Downtown Fort Worth, a lot of eateries, family oriented, and pretty cool stuff, man. So I think it's a cool place for you to stake your residence in, man.
Yeah, it's funny because I was actually, you know, I've been with this company probably like 10 years now. And so the office is downtown Fort Worth. You know, I haven't been in the office since March, I guess, but I was actually living in Dallas and working in Fort Worth. And so I was in a relationship and that ended, and, you know, I had a house in Dallas that ended. And I was like, man, it doesn't make sense for me to, you know, I'm about to get an apartment. It doesn't make sense for me to, you know, I love Dallas. It makes sense for me to get an apartment in Dallas and make that hour drive or more every day. So I was like, let me just go ahead and get a place in Fort Worth. I'm closer to work. And had no idea, you know, no intention of really staying here. I was really kind of looking around and where else I could go, but just fell in love with it, man. It's especially if you're trying to do something right now, it's got a bit of a buzz to it. It's got an energy, you know, to it where, you know, it's always been Cowtown. It's always had the, you know, the stockyards. It's always had a great, you know, museum district, but it's like the arts, the food, the music, always kind of make it a little bit something different, you know, than what it's already is. And it's a cool place to be when you're trying to kind of make a niche for yourself, you know.
Some of the old heads were telling me that the music scene was real funky, man, real dope, you know, back in the 70s or whatnot.
Okay.
Here. And I don't know, how long have you been here? How many years?
So, I mean, I've living here probably 3 years.
Okay. Yeah. So we've been here 13 years. So, okay. And I work downtown too.
Okay.
They redid a lot of that downtown area where you see the upside down umbrellas, like the Sundance Square.
Yeah.
They really revitalized a lot of that area. They brought in Del Frisco's and some other restaurants. Yeah. It used to be where the Cheesecake Factory was. There used to be a Barnes and Noble's there. So,
I was working there for 10 years, but I was just living in Dallas. Okay,
so you know about all the...
Yeah, and when I first got into oil and gas, I was living out west in White Settlement. So I was living there Monday through Friday and then driving back to Houston. And so, yeah, I've seen the growth just in a 10-year span, even less than that, of Fort Worth. It's really amazing, you know.
It is.
You're downtown before that square. You know, I tell people, you know, before that square... you know, when big events come to AT&T Stadium, which is right in the middle of Dallas and Fort Worth, they used to go to Dallas. Yeah. Now, you know, ESPN or whoever's, you know, showcasing it, they'll come to Fort Worth because it's just more user-friendly. You know, they can set up in the square and have people in the background and all that kind of stuff. But now people are gravitating towards Fort Worth instead of Dallas, which I never would have thought that. But it's incredible the way it's been able to kind of grow and somewhat reinvent itself. You know,
it has all that 7th Street area. And then they built the Dickies Arena. That's nice, too. That's huge. Just huge. Yeah. So that's pretty dope. So let's pivot right here, man. Let's go back, man. Let's talk about your childhood, man. Say you're from Detroit. So tell me about your childhood growing up.
You know, just a normal kid growing up in Detroit, Michigan, you know, like I said, you know, food was always a part of my life. My mother was in the kitchen. I learned, you know, everything in there from her. My father, you know, he'd be out in the backyard grilling, you know, rain, shine, snow. You know, you saw that smoke coming from the backyard. Kids are coming by to come get a burger, you know. So it was cool. You know, I love being from Detroit. You know, it's an interesting place. You know, I think at one point in time it was, you know, the richest city in America with the auto industry and Motown and everything like that. So it was an interesting time. It was I enjoyed it a lot. You know, I get back probably about once or twice a year. I love to go back during the holidays, but other than that, I've been a Texas boy for a while now.
What's up, man? So through high school, did you know what you wanted to do when you were in high school or?
So my mother's a teacher and, you know, you talk about, not knowing how many different avenues you can take, in a career path. And I'm going to go off on a little bit of a soapbox here. I think part of that problem right now is, you know, student loan debt and things like that that occur to people because, you know, when I grew up, I was always a creative kid. You know, I was always loved to write. And I was the guy that, you know, wrote the stories in middle school. The people had the whole class laughing. I thought I'd be a writer. And my mother, you know, she's old school. You know, she worked for the Detroit Board of Education for 40 years, you know, worked two jobs. And it's like, boy, you writing don't pay the bills. Boy, you need to be something. My sister's a doctor. And she was like, you need to work for a company for 40 years, get your pension and die, you know. And so I always had it in mind that, you know, that's what I have to do. You know, so part of the reason I went to law school was just to make money, honestly. You know, my undergrad degree is in psychology. And so after being in that for a while, I was like, you know, to be able to make money in that, you pretty much got to get a PhD. I wasn't really feeling it like that, but I didn't want to be a telemarketer either or a parole officer, you know, which is what you could pretty much do with a psychology bachelor's degree. So I went to law school. And so, you know, I think we got a problem in terms of people aren't really pursuing their passion because they know they got to make money. They got to pay back student loans. And so you're going to get a drain of qualified individuals in certain fields. I mean, like if you got a passion to be a librarian, I mean, you ain't gonna make no money. And if you got a degree, you know, you got to feed your family. If you want to have a family, you know, so you might not even pursue that. And so I know law is one of those fields where, you know, you want to be a doctor, you really got to go through some shit to be a doctor. You know, you might have to have a stomach of cadavers and all that. Might not work. As far as lawyers are concerned, you know, they take any degree, basically, as long as you, you know, got a good GPA and, you know, the money is good. Now, I'm doing air quotes here because, you know, I went into the field of law thinking like, you know, what do you say? Doctors and lawyers. Like, those are the two fields that, you know, make all the money. Well, not really. I mean, you know, you can be a lawyer making 30 million, or you can be a lawyer making 30,000. I mean, it all depends on what fields you are, what skills you have. It's not, and you still got them same loans to pay back, you know. You know, doctors are a little more lucrative, but point being is that, you know, I grew up and I have always had a creative nature. But I went into a certain field thinking I had to provide for my family and had to do something. And so, you know, come at a point in my life where I was like, you know, I'm doing this and it's cool. But at some point in time, you got to think what's going to be best for me and my family in the end. And so that's kind of how I started, you know, getting back into cooking because, you know, it does provide that energy that I need. You know, it's a job. It's tough. Don't get me wrong. You know, I mean, you've got seven kids. I got an 18-month-old. That's, you know, I got a 9-to-5. When I get out there, I'm cooking, doing a video, taking photos, editing photos. And then we haven't even got into, you know, the whole aspect of making sure my website is up to date, which is still behind, you know, interacting on social media. So it's a job in and of itself. It's two jobs. It is two jobs, but you know, it's something I'm passionate about. I mean, I hate to say it's my passion, but it's like, you know, it's so cliche, but it's something I care about a lot. And so, you know, like you say, if you're passionate about it, it won't be a job. It's what you do, you know?
I love that, man. I love that passion drives your creativity. And I love that creativity fills that void where people don't know their purpose. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, it was like something was missing in your life, even though you had this career. But when you got into cooking and you can express yourself the way you wanted and control stuff, it's like it fulfilled your purpose. You know, and there's something else I forgot to bring up I thought was interesting, a tidbit that I read. You do your photography through your iPhone, correct?
I do. I just bought a phone, but just bought a real camera here in the past probably 2 or 3 weeks. But other than that, it was all on my iPhone. Yeah. You know.
That is so impressive. So my wife, you know, she does photography and stuff. And when mm-hmm. we watched the thing, the very first thing she said, like, I love the lighting, you know, the mm-hmm. lighting that you have for even preparing your food, for taking mm-hmm. pictures of the food. and it's like you put thought into it, you know. I'm really retentive on certain stuff. So when I'm watching stuff and people are cooking stuff, and then part of the ingredients start showing, like this screen, like the bottom is cut off where I can't see, or they have stuff off screen. And you frame everything just perfectly so everybody can see the stuff. And man, you do a good job, man. Good job. Like I said, you have that many followers for a reason, man. It should be proud of yourself for that.
I appreciate that, man. It's definitely, you know, it's all about putting together a quality product, you know, and that's where it all begins. I told folks, and you know, a couple of times, you know, how do you get started? And it's just like, you know, if you got to have a good eye for one. I mean, it's not, you know, you can do it all you want. If it doesn't look right, it doesn't look right. You know, you got to have a good eye, but you don't necessarily need the high-end equipment if you've got, one, natural lighting. I always prefer to use natural lighting. And two, just the time, you know, to take into it and see how you want it to look. Now, I've recently purchased a camera just because I found that it's more consistent with the quality. You know, I'm starting to get more work from different brands and stuff like that. And so, you know, if I do it on my own and I don't like it, I just won't post it. But if somebody's paying me to do it and I don't like it, I guess it has to be done. You know, I had to redo it. So I can't afford to be having to redo stuff or not look right. You know, I'm meticulous in terms of how I want stuff to look. Yeah. And so I just can't afford to have it not be up to the quality that I want it to be. So that's why I think I need to take that next step and make sure it's an investment. It's a business investment.
So. Yeah. And you're protecting your brand. And this is just so off subject. I just want to just read it. Cause souffle pancakes with apricot butter, mini brown butter, lobster rolls. I mean, like the list goes on and on with these things. Like, and I like, my wife knows when I watch stuff, there's another guy, I forgot his name, that I watch. And I try to duplicate some of his recipes. He does soul food. And man, I tried one of it and the brother put so much salt in that food. I was just like, so my wife, like, but yours is a different level because, like I said, it's like you're not just regurgitating stuff. You're like, hey, I see these herbs. You know, you could tell that you put thought into it, like, man, let me be creative. Let me put this together, you know, and sit this overnight and then deep fry and then put this on it. And, you know, and you're having fun while you're doing it, man, a presentation. You have to let me know when you have another one of those pop-ups, because
absolutely. You know, I thought, you know, 2020 was going to be the year, and then of course we know what happened, but you know, 2021 I'll definitely be having a bunch, you know. But it was definitely, you know, when I decided to do this, you can kind of go two different ways with this in terms of, especially with like social media. I mean, there's huge accounts out there that all they do is just repost other people's stuff. They got 1,500,000 followers, whatever it is, and that's what they do. There are other, you know, people that actually cook, but it's more of, you know, made for everybody in the family, and it's good recipe. It's good food. I'm not knocking it. It's good food. It's quality food. It's a massive following, but I just, you know, when I work in my 9-to-5 oil and gas, I have to march their own drum and do what's necessary for that job. And I said, when I got into this, I'm not going to subscribe to anything that I don't agree with in terms of my own creativity.
Exactly.
If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But that is at least freeing of itself to know that this is what I wanted to do. This is how I did it. You like it, you like it. You don't, you don't. But I wanted to make sure it had its own niche to it. You know, and I think that's the way you can be successful in anything. Is you got to make your own niche and make it yours, make it your own, you know.
Now, I just know this is just from human behavior. I'm just assuming here. I'm quite sure. I guess the question I'm going to ask you is about barriers to entry for a brother. But I'm assuming that you probably have some people that are in their feelings, I put it that way, because they went the culinary route as far as going to school. And you have a gift. I mean, you have a gift, man. Some people just have a gift where that might not be the path for them, you know, and you're being successful in your gift. Do you get kind of slack from that, from some chefs, or are they kind of snobby towards you? Because
yeah, I've gotten, and it's, you know, that's, you know, I say, I don't call myself a chef. That's part of my own insecurities or whatever, but I have gotten it a little bit. And you know, that's the way the game is played in anything. I mean, marketing is you know, 90% of success or whatever you want to call it. I mean, you know, it's the method to the madness. And, you know, it is what it is. That's all I can say. And I might actually go to culinary school at one point in time if I want to open up a restaurant just to have the basics and the foundation there. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, I know there are people going into culinary school the same way I went to law school, because they saw the glamour of it. They wanted to do it. And then now they're out there and it's not what they thought it is. Yeah. Thought it was. So, you know.
One of my things about education, people say it's funny coming from me, but, you know, I don't believe that we're taught to learn. We're not taught creativity, especially, you know, mm-hmm. You can't teach creativity.
Right.
So, man, keep doing what you're doing, man, brother. I love it, man. I support you, man. I'm all for it. And when this COVID stuff simmers down, I definitely going to connect with you, because we work in what, probably blocks from each other, and I hang out in that area.
Yeah.
My son goes to TCU, man. So, you know, okay. I go down there to pick him up. Me and my wife, we go to dinner there, you know, when we're dropping him off, you know. So,
hey, I mean, you know, there are people, you know, that make a living online, you know, with recipes, and have never fed a soul, and that's credible. But I mean, food is spiritual to me. I'm feeding you. You know, it looks good, but I have to feed you. You have to actually taste it. You have to experience it. You know, I mean, for food photography captures the food, but it's not like capturing a building. You can't eat a building. I mean, you can make it look good in a photograph, but that's all that's to it. You know, food is food. You know, I mean, I say this all the time. It's the one art form that encompasses all the senses. You know, you see it looks great, you know, you taste it, you know, you smell it, you hear it sizzling in the other, you know it you feel it on your tongue, you know. I mean, so my thing is, whatever I'm doing, I still have to feed people. You know, I have to have people experience my food to know that yes, it tastes as good as it looks.
I love it, brother. I absolutely love it, man. So now we're at the part of the interview. There's just three questions I ask to all the people, you know, all my brothers to come on here, because you guys are my brothers. First question is, you know, we all know that our past molded us and who we are. And we know that we had to go through certain stuff. You know, we had to navigate that to be who we are right now. But what kind of advice would the older you give to your younger self?
I would just say, you know, stay focused, you know. It's you know, you can't rewind time, and you always say, man, if I knew that back then, you know. But just stay focused, you know. It's real easy to drift along, and not make really achieve anything, you know. Once you've got a goal in mind, stay focused on it. Now, whether it's going to work or not, you won't know that until you follow along with the path. But if you don't stay focused, you'll never know exactly what could have come about of that idea or that you know, that journey we're trying to take.
Yeah. I agree. Good stuff, man. So the second question, we had talked earlier. I mentor young boys, and I'm a big proponent of strengthening your mind, your body, and your spirit. Can you tell us or share how you personally strengthen either one or all three of those areas?
Mind, body, and spirit. So, you know, I'm a runner. I like to run. I've trained for a couple of marathons. People always ask me, how do you eat all this cheese and all this food porn? And part of it is cardio, lots of good cardio. I have not been doing it as much as I would like to, because, you know, I got a roommate that likes to wake up super early and in the middle of the night sometimes. But I do like to practice yoga and meditation. I highly recommend meditation.
Nice.
You know, I really need to get back into it, but just even 5 minutes just to start your day, it helps kind of clear your mind and get you ready, you know, in that aspect.
I think more of us need to get into that. I joke with my wife, then to show you how old this is. She had got me on VHS this male yoga abs tape. And I was like, man, you about ripped my leg, ripped my torso apart. I had to do one of those moves. Oh, my God.
Slow, you know. You don't jump into it. But
yeah, buddy. Because you know that old athlete, and you be like, oh, I could do this.
Yeah, man. Exactly.
I went in there. But, yeah, that was back. I saw that. I was cleaning the garage the other day. It was in the tote, man. My kids don't even know what VHS tapes are, you know.
Yeah, right?
I mean, man.
We ain't going to talk about DVDs. We don't even know what DVDs are anymore with some of these young kids, but let alone VHS.
Yeah,
man.
Don't even have them anymore. So then the last question I got for you, brother. Just over the conversation, is there anything that we didn't cover that you would like to tell young brothers that are either thinking about getting to your field or thinking about possibly following their passion and doing a career change?
I would just, double back and just say, stay focused and be willing to work. People ask me a lot of times, like, hey, man, so is this just like you're cooking dinner and then you just took some pictures? Like, no, sometimes it's also, it's always the meal. I'm always cooking dinner. But there are times when I don't feel like cooking or I don't feel like taking pictures or I don't feel like making a video, but I do it because, for one, it's your 10,000 hours or whatever you want to call it of learning your craft. But also you've got to make sure that you're putting in, whatever you're trying to do, putting it out there for the world, because you just never know who's watching you, who's seeing what you're doing, who's ready to give you that next opportunity. So whatever it is, it takes determination. It's cliche in the sense of overnight, sensation. But all those overnight sensations, they were working well before they became that sensation. And that takes work. It takes dedication. It's not easy. I've had a lot of, I had conversations because it's funny because I had friends when I first started this. Actually, when I first started this, I had two other friends that all also like to cook. And I was like, hey, man, look, I think we can kind of do this little social media thing. Each will do, one dish a week, and I'll just manage it. Everybody just put into it. They were like, we ain't doing that shit. I'm like, okay, all right, And they would, make fun of me when I'm, posting pictures and taking pictures out and stuff like that. And of course, when it started growing and growing, they're like, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah, man, I'm gonna tell y'all. But anyways, point being is that, you've got to stick with it, You've got to stick with it. Nothing happens overnight. And the longer you do it, the better you'll be at it. I was a lawyer, for 15 years. And I've been in this food game seriously for 2 years, 3 years, which is a minuscule amount of time. I've been able to achieve a little bit of success, but nothing on the level I'm aspiring to. So you have to stick with it. It doesn't happen overnight. So just make sure you're dedicated to it. If you're really serious about it, keep doing it. It's going to be long hours. It should be long hours. If it's not long hours, it's probably not worth it, because you're probably not doing something that's worthwhile. It should be long hours. It should be difficult at some point in time. At some point in time, you should be like, man, do I really want to do this? And if you don't, then don't do it. But if you do, then keep doing
it. Exactly. Exactly. Good stuff, man. And I know this is like said also too, but I was thinking about being a foodie. What you think about Austin, man? You like to, all those food trucks down there.
I love Austin, man. So my mother lives down in Houston. So I would, go down there once a month, and I cut down the back way down 35 through Waco, and I'd hit Austin, once a month as well, just trying to, pick up on the different food scene and stuff like that, Yeah, I mean, it's funny. And I had no intention on being in Texas this long. I came here for a visit. My sister in Houston for the summer, and 20 years later, I'm still in Texas. But that's one thing I love. You've got Houston, Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, Fort Worth, all within a couple hours drive of each other, so you can go check out different scenes in Texas while you're here.
It is, especially being like in the area we're at, because that 35 runs straight. You stop at the check stop, get you some pastries on the way through Waco. Exactly. And they got a new Jamaican spot in Waco there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I sent you the link. And we went there. We went to the Baylor game. So they got a couple little soul food spots there. And then, like I said, of course, okay. Austin has, for people that don't know, tons. It's such an eclectic town. Man, it's really, yeah. I don't know if I would like to live there, but I love visiting. We go down there for date night sometime. We'll just hit the highway.
Well, I've always enjoyed Austin. It's like a, I'm going to mess this up, but, people in Dallas hate people in Houston, and people in Houston hate San Antonio, but everyone wants to live in Austin or something like that. Like, I always enjoy visiting there. I've heard different things about actually living there, but it's definitely my favorite city in Texas,
I agree. It must be that Midwest boy guy thing, man. Because like I said, it's a different vibe there, man. It's a different vibe.
It is. And, Fort Worth is, It's coming along, man. You know, it's definitely, I know you've been able to see the changes since you've been here. Mm-hmm. And part of that is Texas. You have to give kudos to Texas because people are moving to Texas.
Yes, they are.
The weather, the cost of living, it's attracting people. And so this influx of other people are making Texas into something different, which is going to be very interesting in the next 10 years, you know.
It is. It's getting so different here. Well, man, I want to thank you, brother, man, for coming on the show. Want to pause and make sure that we put, now I'm putting all your stuff up on my website, but shout out and tell people how they can reach you, all the different avenues that they can find you online.
Cookdrinkeat.com is where you find all my recipes. Some of my videos up there, but cook, drank, DRANK, eat. And that's, you know, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, trying to TikTok, but man, I ain't got enough time for TikTok. Yeah, follow me on TikTok, please. But cookdrinkeat.com. If you Google that, it'll take you all the good places. And sign up for my emails on my website. I'll let you know when I'm doing pop-ups. I do pop-ups anywhere people will pay me. So, you know, I've done them in Brooklyn and I've done them in Houston, Detroit. So, you know, I'll go anywhere as long as it makes sense.
Yeah. What's up? You guys got one of the Mellow Boys today, didn't you?
Did we? I didn't see that. I haven't been paying attention.
Was it Detroit? I think the last one got signed, maybe. Maybe
really?
One of my buddies was sending me a text. Maybe I didn't read it right. I thought that said Detroit.
I don't know. I haven't been texting my computer here for a minute, but I know they went. He went somewhere here recently, and they're doing a whole overhaul with the Pistons. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Hopefully they come back around, man. I'm a East Coast. You know, I like the West. It's all fun and games. But I grew up with watching, you know, the Knicks and the Pistons
Right.
Them powerhouse squads, man. They,
right.
Golden exactly. State. Ain't nobody paid attention to Golden State when we was growing. Unless when they had Miss Richmond. We liked the one they had Miss Richmond.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Run TMC.
Yeah. Now they had a couple squads come through there. But for the most part, it's like, man, get out of here. And then,
that's a whole other story. Because it's a whole new game now. They all teaming up for super teams now. You know, it's no bad blood. They all got the same agent, the same people, the same girlfriends. They don't care. They just trying to get money and get an easy ring, you know.
I argue with my sons about that. And I was like, you know, on one hand, I get it. You're within the rules to do that, you know. And I was like, but it's just, we just don't come from that era, man. I was like, I can't imagine Jordan be like, hey, Pat, let's get together and let's get Zeke together. And come on, man. How that sound?
You know, part of that's being a crotchety old man, but yeah, it just wasn't like that. You know, I pride myself, like Detroit made Michael get a jumper. You know, for the Lambert elbows, you had to get a jumper. You know,
they made Mike hit that gym and get them shoulders on that shoulder press going.
That too, they showed that in the 30 for 30 or whatever. So yeah, it's a different era. You know, in one sense, I love it. You know, I love seeing LeBron James become this, you know, global titan that he's becoming, you know, and dictating, you know, what he wants to do. And that's power. And so I do appreciate that, you know, because these young men, they are dictating what they want to do, where they want to go, and they're going to be making a bunch of money doing it. So I can appreciate that. It's just in the terms of just watching it on TV and the rivalries, it's like, y'all gonna swap jerseys after this, you know.
You know, and you see, and I'm glad you brought that up because me and my partners, we got into a debate about that, and a younger partner of mine. And I was telling him, I was like, the thing about LeBron, I don't really care for how he did it with the gym, with the big announcement, you know.
Right.
But what I really liked about it was, they did something that hadn't been done before because they always thought that the money, they could dangle that carrot of money, and those brothers was willing to take a pay cut for a bigger goal. So for them to not let that be the case and for them to get together and for them to do stuff that people haven't seen, I give him props for that, man. And on top of that, LeBron's just, as far as a role model, man, just phenomenal man, husband, father, you know. How can you hate on a brother? Even if he you know, aside from anything, it's just like, I got to give him props for that, man. It just,
yeah, LeBron for me, part of it is that I do, you know, I have people that hate on LeBron, and it's unwarranted. I mean, if you're talking about a brother that came from nothing, what he's accomplished with no missteps. I mean, you're talking about the minorest of things in terms of what we don't like about the situation. No missteps along the way. And you've got people that have done ridiculous things in terms of the law.
I said my daughter was going to come in at one point in time, didn't I?
Hey. I just like LeBron for what he's accomplished, what he's the tone he's setting for other athletes. You know, exactly. Trying to be a leader in terms of change.
Yes.
You can't hate on that. As a black man being successful. So in and of itself, that's why I like
it, you know? Yeah. Same here, brother. Same here. I ain't a Lakers fan, but you know, I root for success, man. Plus, I'm from Ohio, so. You know, it was the funniest thing. I remember I had an old coworker. He ended up passing away. Older guy. He was like, he used to call him Lee. This LeBron James, man, you need to go see him. He's playing at the Schottenstein. You know, he's from Akron, and he's going to be the next Jordan. Before anybody was talking about him in high school, he was talking about this kid, man. And so it was kind of cool to watch his career and now see him, you know, be a mentor to these young brothers, man.
99.999% of the people that have that hype never achieve any percentage. I mean, you can go down the list of people that had that kind of any kind of hype like that, and what have they actually done? He's been able to achieve it, like I said,
without injuries. It's crazy. Without
kind of crazy drama, you know, legally is concerned. You know, I mean, I was a sports agent briefly. And, you know, I understand that, you know, a lot of these kids, for one, you know, the guidance is not there growing up. So that's part of an issue.
Exactly.
But they don't care because they're like, I'm going to make millions of dollars. So it doesn't matter. Well, it still matters. You could make millions more. Two could always be taken away from you. So the fact that he still had to, you know, the wherewithal to make sure you stay within some kind of, you know, boundaries and have some kind of a semblance of structure. Is impressive, you know. Any young person that's able to achieve and not misstep is doing the right thing. You know, exactly. It's very easy. I know when I was 20 years old, I wasn't ready to be on a world stage,
brother. We was joking. Me and mom was like, "We glad dude, we didn't have cell phones then. We had them Polaroids."
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, you know, I try not to be too hard on them kids. I was like, because, you know, daggone, we would have been acting a fool if we had social media and stuff. We had pagers and calling houses and hanging up after two rings. We was doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Man. Exactly. So, yeah.
Well, good stuff, man. I enjoyed chatting with you, brother, man. We're going to be in touch, man. Like I said, I follow you, man, and I'm going to hit you up from time to time and join your mailing list and make sure that once this COVID stuff, we get a hold of that and bring my old lady down there, man. We enjoy some of your food. We were talking about last night, like, man, we're going to have to try something. Cause she knows I'm not a big pasta person. But if I see some pasta, like, it depends on how it's made. And you made? Right. You made something with some Parmesan noodles. Or I was just like, okay, I will eat that. Some stuff I get down with. So, yeah. Man, right. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm also available for private parties. You know, I do that as well. I'm a chef. I come to your home. I cook. Set up clean leave. So, you know, if you have any kind of group get togethers in 2021, okay. I also do that as well. So
we might have to do that, man. I got two sons graduating, man, this year. So I got one from graduating from college and one graduating from high school. So might have to look into that.
That's fantastic.
All right. Well, thanks again, brother, man. Everybody listening, cook, drink, eat. Make sure you check the website. I'm going to put all the links on there if you guys didn't catch it. And you be safe out there, brother.
You too, man. Take it easy.
All right, man. Take care. Hope these authentic stories show different paths to success and provide mentorship. Please be sure to visit us at drjinterviews.com for additional content and social media info. Stay resilient.